Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to episode 537 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
It's the grand final episode.
The pre-grand final episode. Finally.
And it is
almost
it's
happening.
It's a fucking long season.
As the grand final is.
Yeah, well, look, listen, we're recording this on Friday night. Didn't come out on the late Wednesday like it normally would have, slash early Thursday morning. And really, there was a couple of things behind that. One of the reasons was the Dally M's were on Wednesday night. Didn't finish until after we would record. Just wanted to get on the record. That wasn't a factor. We just couldn't be fucked. and we didn't have the fucking time crunch imperative of Thursday night football or something, you know, that like forcing us into like Wednesday at the latest being the time.
Yep.
Because you know, it's a common theme that we're like, you know, push Monday to Tuesday, then on Tuesday, push Tuesday to Wednesday, if we can. And you know, we're pretty flexible around that as well, because, you know, people are busy and they've got things on different nights and, you know, whether it be work or, you know, kids sport, blah, blah, whatever. So, but this time we didn't have any of that pushing us in any particular directions other than just the general pervasive attitude of not being fucked. And here we are on Friday, which was pretty much the line in the sand that Wednesday usually is. So here we are. You got a week. You got a pre-weekend. You can listen to it on your flight on the way down to the grand final, or
fantastic,
up or across.
If that, or you could be a sour cunt like Shane Cash and fucking send a message going, "You guys doing a podcast?"
Oh, so that was so okay. So literally two people at once, because someone sent a message to the page, and which I replied to. So Cash is okay. So that's literally two people who give a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even like our, you know, not even people like we would say like our friends, like, you know, inner circle, like, you know, real life friends. None of them, because I mean, obviously, I would never.
I don't have any real life friends associated or hosting this podcast.
I would never accuse you of being actual friends with Shane Cash, because I mean, he didn't even come and watch fucking D's run around the grand final.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I mean, so like that's you know, that's not very friendly.
Apparently, he was sick.
Yeah.
Sick of you fucking excelling.
Yeah.
Sick of, sounds sick like there's plenty of people life. Sick of that, Jay, if I'm honest. It's a fucking pandemic.
Okay, so anyway, so this week we've got a couple of things to talk about. We've got the new things, we've got the games from last week, which I was saying to Glennie before we recorded, and before you got on the line, stepped out, I was just like, you know, those games were fucking shit, so I mean, let's not spend like the usual amount of time on those that we normally would, because they just were they were uncompetitive. And if I get too far into this Broncos game, I'm just going to fucking talk about the cunt hole referees. And yeah, you know, I hate being that fucking guy.
I hate being
the fucking Aaron, you know, Brockovich what? Trying to get justice for fucking football teams.
You must be the fucking Mike Tyson of podcasting. You know, Mike Tyson says that fucking winners do things that they hate, but they do it as if they love them. And yeah, the way you fucking ref's fault.
Thank you. I could not have put it any better season, myself.
This whole fucking season.
See,
every Manly loss.
See, the thing is, it's not ref's faulting what it's doing, because it's not just Manly games. It's not just Manly games. It's any game. And like, for example, this one would be the Warriors. It's not ref's faulting. I'm just trying to get some accountability from the people in the middle, so that the games are fucking officiated correctly in this world of, because we're watching all these other fucking sports. Like, you watch a lot of basketball, I'm watching baseball and fucking, you know, NFL. They get the decisions fucking right. They got the technology available, and guess what? They get the decisions fucking right.
Yep.
And they're Americans, and Americans are fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So what's your excuse, cunts? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to shine a light.
Mate, it's not... The trouble is, it's not a fucking hard question. The trouble is, you can't do something about it easily. It is a culture issue with the NRL.
Hmm.
It is a culture issue that the refs are too fucking insulated and protected.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it.
There is a culture issue that it is not okay for them to make mistakes in the moment. It is not okay for them to be, you know, corrected by a bunker. Okay for them to be corrected by a touchy, stupidly enough.
They would rather be corrected. They would rather have fucking Annesley front up on Monday and apologise for something that fucked the game rather than actually have a dude upstairs 3 seconds after go, hey, pull that back, there's blah, blah. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's the only reason it would be happening. But,
yep. Anyway.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
Yes. Okay, so we're
halfway deep before we've started.
We're halfway finished the episode. I hope you've enjoyed the show so far. Will we start with like newsy things, or will we go with these like the last games?
Do the games, then the news.
Right. Okay. So the first one, the Panthers 38 defeated the Storms 4. 38 to the Panthers, a hat trick to To'o, Cleary, Taruva, and Edwards tries. Cleary 5 of 6 conversions and 2 penalty goals. Storms a try to Ollum, and that's fucking it. Yibba yibba, Lee Bailey, time to detonate his account again.
The only concern I've got out of this is a little bit of Penrith's defence in the centres.
Particularly over on their right-hand side. Right.
That's
it.
That was picked apart too easily way too many times for me to be happy. There's been some shuffling of sides and shuffling of players and players coming in and out through injuries and, you know, maybe I don't know whether Peachy has a dust that he leaves behind when he comes into the side and then out again.
Look, can I just say,
let's call it a residue.
Far be it from the peach residue. No.
There you go. There's your episode title.
Far be it from me to defend Peachy. I mean, I haven't my life hasn't been affected negatively by that guy ever. Like the two of you have had to withstand at times, but he wasn't making those. He was fucking tries, but he wasn't making those defensive errors.
There is a fucking 6 degrees of separations that says that Tyrone fucked you too, Nathan.
Yeah, but the thing is, he never plays well enough. He hasn't played for me, so I haven't felt that side of it. And he never plays well enough to defeat me either. So I feel like I'm pretty safe.
You're peach bivalent.
That's it. Peach bivalent. That's the title. Yeah. And I'm sure, look, if David Middleton wants to go through, just like, you know, has fucking Peachy ever done anything to fuck Manly in his entire playing history, no matter who he plays for, then great, go for it. But, yeah.
The other thing that was really fucking interesting was when right at the end, when Luai went off, and I understand that this was right at the end.
Yep.
And the attitude isn't the same, and, you know, Melbourne players may have given up a little. Like, they should have given up after 10 minutes because they're all fucking no hope.
Plotters.
When Luai went off and all of a sudden Cleary was playing both sides of the field again and doing that, he looks a fucking $1 million better than he does. So
it was actually one of his better like attacking games in his entire career.
Yeah, so look, you know, you don't wish anything obviously to happen to disrupt your team, especially on or during a grand final, but far out, he's dangerous when he just floats and can play anywhere he wants to. So, yeah, the result was as it should have been. You know?
Yeah.
Melbourne capped off a season where they were a good team. They were a top 4 team. They underperformed, I guess, probably from their point of view. And their finals campaign mirrored their season in that it had some fucking great moments, but then also some very un-Melbourne-like moments when they were pushing everything, their discipline let them down, and it. I guess in contrast, it makes all of those Melbourne teams of old a little bit more human, because really, it was just that top-level discipline in terms of errors and penalties and the concentration on controlling aspects of the game, like where teams start their sets and where you hand the ball over, that made those teams able to do what they did. So, there it is. Penrith through again, as it should be. Now officially the greatest team of the modern era, the only team to play in 4 legitimate grand finals in a row. So it's an accomplishment that will stand for the test of time. I don't see it ever being broken. It's the fucking Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points of NRL records. Everyone should stop trying.
It's true. It's actually like the Wilt Chamberlain too. Like, you've got the 2021 grand final in there. And so you got like a lot of asterisk seasons in there with COVID and whatnot. So
Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain playing against white people and farmers. playing barely when black people were allowed to play.
You are the Tyrone Peachy of analogies.
Oh, fuck, that makes my brain hurt.
What do you suggest? Wilt Chamberlain was donning whiteface before he went out on the court.
No, I'm just saying he's overrated. And the way you look back in history, and it's like Bill Russell as well. Like, you look back in history at the and the records and the are like fucking incredible, and you're like, oh my God. But
this that's all you see. You grainy see, footage you know, that's that would indicate yeah,
exactly.
anyway, we went from Jay sounding like a modern day Dragons fan to that.
Well, I mean,
that's the worst 3 minutes of fucking podcasting we've ever done.
That's the most interesting thing, and honestly, that's the reason that I'd like to get fit and make sure I live as long as possible. Because I mean, with the Panthers, you know, getting their 4 grand finals in a row, I mean, I want to live to see which one of them, at age 75, as it turns out, is a pedophile and has historical child abuse cases leveraged against them as they die. I mean, that's something worth living for. Now, the Broncos 42 feed the Warriors 12. Broncos tries a double to Billy Walters, Glennie. Herbie.
That was a bitter pill.
Jesse Arthurs, Jordan Ricci, Ezra Mam tries. Reno, 6 of 6. Reece Walsh, 1 of 1 on the conversions. Warriors, 12. Double 2, DWZ. Montoya with the other one. Pompey, 0 of 3. And really, like, they were out wide, but his goal kicking really fucked them because they weren't able to keep pace at that time when they were going sort of try for try for the first three tries. Yep. And the Broncos kept going up in sixes and the Warriors kept going up in fours, and so the margins kept increasing on them anyway.
To have scored the same amount of tries yet still have scoreboard pressure on you is a fuck situation to find yourself in.
Still behind by a converted try despite fucking...
Yeah.
Yep. But,
which you can't convert, so it's essentially two tries.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think that, you know, the result probably overshadowed a lot of the positives of the Warriors season to finish a bit like that. The Broncos probably just had, you know, playing at home, you know, they started with a touch of, you know, a few nerves. They looked a little bit shaky. Warriors scored first.
Quite easily too.
And, you know, they sort of sucked it up and pulled it together. And I'm the last person to give Billy Walters credit, but his activity around the ruck and... I think at times he probably did try and be a little too creative at various stages if I try and stick with my theme of knocking everything he does. But he was a catalyst for Brisbane riding the ship and obviously, you know, Walsh, again, just had those moments in a game, which he's had pretty much every game he's played this year. And the Broncos just kept, as you say, kept the foot on the pedal, and the Warriors couldn't pull them back. So,
and contrary to the previous week, I mean, they didn't wrap him up at all.
Mm.
And the only time they ever sort of brought anything undone was that intercept.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, and that was, and he was not under a hell of a lot of pressure when, you know, when that happened either. I mean, that was just
just poor decision,
poor pass, and great play.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, they roll on. Reynolds was great. His kicking game, his goal kicking was exceptional.
Coaching amazing,
as always. And talking about coaching, though,
I mean, do you think that Webster should have been disqualified from winning ultimately that he won the Dally M Coach of the Year? Do you think he should have been disqualified just by how poorly he coached them about to, and them allowing Billy Walters to score tries from dummy half.
Look, I think he needs to be judged on the performances of the whole season and the whole body of work rather than one tragic anomaly to close out the season.
Yeah. I would suggest that is not the biggest issue with the fucking fast that is the Dally M's and the New Zealand Warriors.
We'll get there. Don't hell. Don't you fucking worry about that.
We really are. Boys, I'm not the type of guy to bring this to your attention, but we really are fucking just reeling tonight. We're trying to pull this together, but we've now been recording for 16 and a half minutes. Not one of you cunts has brought up, you know, everyone wants to talk about the farce of the Dally M's, but no one wants to talk about the real awards that went on over the weekend on Saturday night.
Oh, fuck. You're right. Sorry. I gotta apologize. Are we finished talking about that game?
If you were an actual fucking podcasting professional, you would have assumed that we were actually going to segue into it in the section about the NRL.
I know people that listen to the first 20 minutes of this show only for the touch football chat and don't listen any further.
Well, to those people, I say, gotcha, bitch. I'm going to grab you for another 20 minutes. All right, if you finish talking about the games for now, because we can talk about the merits of the two teams in the matchup to come.
Ruined the orgy. By running in and fucking furiously jerking off in the middle of the room before everyone's ready.
It's strangely accurate to real life proceedings.
And you know what? I'm not even going to suggest that we wait until we've had a discussion about the fucking try with two forward passes in it as the Warriors are looking to get into the game. So
that might perhaps be the best segue.
I don't even fucking care. Because, we spoke about the referees already. We've already decided it's a problem that we can't solve until, you know, there's too many cunts. Throw up our hands, just like they do when they see forward passes.
Possibly the worst forward pass I've seen.
It was so bad that fucking Reece Walsh was actually pulling up because he knew it was going to get called forward. Yeah. It was that far forward. And then he had to go, oh, fuck, and motor again because it was play on. And then to which point he received another forward pass to score the try. Anyway, on Saturday night, the Toowoomba touch football, the Glen's mighty Lions, Lions.
I'm comfortable with that.
Are they a pride of Lions, Glen?
No, it's technically
Lions of pride.
They're technically a pride of Lions. It's a collective term. But look, otherwise known as a bunch of legends.
You had your yearly end of season, like your trophy night situation.
Yeah, presentation night.
Presentation night.
Yes.
And, oh my God, I don't know how long it was after the award happened, but I think it was probably measured in seconds rather than minutes. A text comes through with a fucking photograph of a trophy. Most improved. one big D's.
Yeah, they got the spelling wrong on the trophy. Clearly.
Yeah, they spelled it GLE. I mean, you know, there was no D's on there at all. I couldn't find zero. Read, but that's okay. And not only that, your son also won a most improved trophy. And look, I know how he plays, and I've seen you play. And I've never seen the same sentence mean such vastly different things.
You said something similar in the comments, and I was like,
that's not what you said. What you did is you pulled out your phone, took a screenshot of it, pasted it into the text, and then wrote "cunt."
Yes, because I need to stick with the form. That's what I've done approximately 8 billion times in my life, which says far more about you than it does about me.
You're the only one doing it, Glennie. I mean, just what I'm saying.
So, look, I was informed by the great Mark Kelly, who was the MC and was, you know, presented me with the award, that he was very close in the room full of people, only a handful actually understanding who the fucking Big Diesel was. He was very close to calling out when he called my name, calling out Big Diesel, and he said, as Jackson was standing there, he goes, I was a whole lot closer to calling out Little Diesel when I named yours. So,
I mean, you could have just gone, like Glenn, yeah, Big Diesel.
Can I tell you, in the days of fucking rappers and like names that back in our day you would be shot for having, like Lil D's is not the worst fucking
nickname. It's not the worst one, no. He already hates it. Up with. He already hates the fact that someone suggested it. Because, you know, at 16 years of age, anything that ties him to me in any capacity outside of his actual DNA
just unspeakable
is repulsive. So, yeah, we can't have that. But very, very chuffed to be acknowledged and, great night. Few shots had late in the evening, bit of a headache Sunday morning, I'll be honest. But, I don't know. Never fucking won anything like that in my life, and it makes me want to come out next year and, you know, maybe have a crack at upgrade or something. You know, I don't want to set the bar too high.
I'm
not saying it again.
There was crackle on your mic then. Did you say A grade? You're going to skip a grade. Is that what you're telling me?
No. C grade, unless they push me down to D. I don't know what's happening.
Mate, D's you call Diesel,
you,
though, too.
You, I was going to say, you want to call yourself Big Diesel? This is fucking anyone plays for you. D grade.
But you might get like 50 tries in D for Diesel.
I reckon I'd go all right. I've said it before. I'm happy to stand on that.
Yeah.
Just also, you know, and I hate to give the man fucking two mentions in one podcast, but there is talk that Cash Money is making a comeback to touch football next year. And we'll be on opposing teams.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought he was going to come. Okay. So who does he claim? Saints?
Sharks. He's played for the Sharks, previously, Sharks. Years ago. Yeah.
I didn't see them in the grand final.
Is there some, like some geographical significance?
I think back in the day, the clubs were aligned with the rugby league. So we've got Roosters, which is Fowley's Roosters. Lions is Newtown Lions. Saints is aligned with Brothers, which is a little weird. And then Sharks and All-Stars are tied in. Yeah, I don't know how that side of things works, which makes it weird, which is probably the perfect place for Cashy to ply his trade. So, it could be interesting. There'll be some stray elbows next year, I can tell you, on the wing, if the Diesel...
He's going to park himself out there as well, is he?
Oh, he'd have to, wouldn't he? Where else is he going to fucking play?
I don't know.
The Diesel and Cash Money. Oh, boys. Tell you what, worth the price of admission.
touch football.
Get your doubles for fucking just Diesel up, and Cash Money.
One matchup on one side of the field where the fucking touches are like fucking like Dana White slap.
Elbows.
Fucking
league. Oh, brilliant. But no, very chuffed to be acknowledged in any way. And I won't say like I feel like I deserve it, but I showed up every week and I gave my best. My best wasn't
nearly good enough, buddy.
Because
I mean, there's no way without the extra pressure that you put on yourself by revealing the whole touch thing on air, and then us taking the D's thing and fucking championing it and making it even bigger. I mean,
it really
when
did.
It comes to awards and stuff like name brand recognition. Goes a long fucking way. So, as the most famous player in your team, probably in the entire club across all grades, if we're being honest.
Fuck. No, please don't say that.
Who else?
Oh, people that have actually played for Australia.
outside of the touch scene, though.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking mainstream. Right. I'm not talking about like the fucking in the little niche of touch football world. I couldn't name a single touch player except for Big D's. Well, you know, Brad, Jackson.
Yeah. Like, people you actually know.
Met on the day.
Yeah.
Other than those kinds of
brilliant.
Like, I couldn't tell you any guy who played for Australia. I mean, no way. But Big D's, famous as shit.
I will tell you, we had a moment. Obviously, things went down in the evening. We were all watching the football, and there's a bit of a group of us parked up in front of the TV on the seats. And the game was actually being cast through one of the boys' phones onto the big screen via KO.
Yep.
And I saw earlier, a little bit earlier, before the game had kicked off, Maddie's daughter had sent him a message saying, I'm home now with love heart. I'm home now, Dad, you know, just letting him know she'd got home safe because she'd been dropping some stuff off or whatever.
Yep.
So, okay, that's very interesting. And made sure that I went over to one of the other boys and said, you hook me up with Maddie's number? And, of course, he did. So I waited. I bided my time, and I waited till there was a little bit of a lull in proceedings in the game and proceeded to send Maddie a text message that said, hey, Maddie, can you resend those dick pics for me? Which flashed up on the big screen.
It was actually like, he was actually screen sharing. Not
yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
That is a rookie mistake.
Oh, fucking brought the house down. For it. He really was. Brought the fucking house down. I also want to say, the fucking... The general proceedings of people receiving their awards, there was some, you know, courteous clapping and stuff like that and the odd woo and stuff like that. C grade, most improved, Glenn Blakely. Fucking everyone went up. It was a fucking massive cheer. And
most popular and most famous clubman.
Walmart. Love it.
So there you go. See, that says everything. Biggest cheer of the night. I mean, yeah, that shit doesn't come for no reason.
By the length of the straight.
It's not because it's not because you're a good bloke or anything. Let me tell you.
No, definitely not.
It could be because of the fake newspaper article he pinned on the wall back in fucking post World War II, Toowoomba Touch Football. Yeah.
Forrest Gumping it. I'm just putting myself into all these famous touch football fucking moments in Toowoomba. How good.
It's called the original Diesel, or ODs. Rescued 45 orphans while playing in a match.
Yeah, it's a long and storied history of one third seasons.
There we go, we've done touch and we've done the games.
So
exactly.
Good.
So, I don't know, did you put a thread up for the socials following the games at all?
Nah.
And if so, would you like to go through it?
Nah.
Okay, yeah, good. All right, good. I didn't think I saw one, but
and
I was just checking.
No, we're at that stage of the year where we don't give a fuck.
Yep, that's it. Penrith are officially the greatest team of the NRL era.
Oh, here we go.
No one's saying that, but that's all right. That's okay. You can say it, though. You're in the media, I guess.
I don't think you know what the word literally means, because I just did.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I mean, kind of like, you know, accredited media, let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah,
an indication of how far you've fallen in my eyes, Jay, is you sound like Trotters.
You're choosing to listen to fucking Buzz Rothfield over me.
You sound like fucking Trotters talking about St George, and I don't know if I can insult you any harder than that.
Yeah, look, someone will probably come and take my kids now. Dragons fan.
So that's really
yeah. It gives them a future they wouldn't have otherwise have had.
I'll take the new one.
I was going to say someone almost stole the newest one.
Oh, he's awesome! Oh, he's awesome, and he's a big fan of Nate too. Oh my god,
loves Unky Nate.
Oh, he was great. I love him.
Loves a bit of Unky Nate. So,
yeah, we instantly fucking hit it off like that. We're boys.
In the entranceways to Unky Nate's house, on one side the wall has a like wall length mirror,
yeah,
and on the other side has a like a portrait painting,
yeah,
and it's freaked the fuck out of the baby because on one side he turns his head and he can see himself and he moves and he waves back and he does all this thing, but then the portrait's standing bolt fucking still.
Yeah. we won't pop out too, just quietly.
Yeah. So. Yes.
But no, it was good. Also good, very fucking good. Well, you know, not for Glennie, but for the two of us. Saw some news articles coming out on what day is it today? Friday, so like probably around Wednesday, that there was some kind of loggerheads or some dispute and failure to meet common ground between Fittler and New South Wales Rugby League when they were talking about, you know, re-upping him for coaching. And then, like, an hour later, then it's like he's resigned as New South Wales coach.
I wonder what the loggerhead was. We would like you to win.
Yeah, thanks.
I can't.
Look, do that.
Let the players wear their fucking boots because this touching grass hippie bullshit is fucking ridiculous. But yeah, so I think it was probably about advisors or coaching staff. They wanted to insist came on board because obviously the fucking media yes men, like, you know, Brandy and stuff were fucking hopeless at selections.
Well, he's gone. Tactics. Brandy resigned.
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah, so he's already gone. So those kinds of guys were all fucking rubbish. And so maybe they were trying to get a proper football coaching mind in there to assist him somewhat.
Here's the thing. I'm not even... Yeah. The selectors are different to coaches who are different to advisors.
Hmm.
And Brandy's job should be to get in with whatever fucking halves they pick for that team.
Yep.
And run through fucking, this is Origin football as a half. Mm-hmm. Here is this is what you got to do. That's his job.
Yep.
And it should be no fucking more than that. Very similar, you know, I don't know, he obviously has different board responsibilities at Penrith, being the intelligent human being that he is, but that's what he does with their halves program. That's what he knows, it's what he can teach, it's what he can pass on. How big a set of fucking balls does Fittler have to have to go to his employer, which is the New South Wales Rugby League, and make fucking demands around the rest of the employees? Like, Glenn, if you had someone come into you from some part of your fucking work and be like, I'll tell you, these fucking admin staff that you're getting in to do and this fucking salesperson that you're this and this, and everyone around me, no. As my employer, I say to you, fucking hell.
Sacked.
Yeah.
Especially if you had achieved fucking zip.
With when it's your turn with when it's your turn with the fucking generational talented
crop. It's like, oh, fucking, here you go. Here's the fucking, I don't know, who's like a big digger? Caterpillar. Here's the Caterpillar account. Go on, you service all of the Cater diggers.
Oh, fuck me.
And they've made zero sales.
That sounds like vaguely racist, and I know it's not, but that's what it's about.
They've made zero sales, and then they come in talking about how they don't want the admin staff you're looking to bring in.
Yeah, so look,
Fuck me.
Without knowing all the behind-the-scenes situation, the fact is, I mean, like we've said before, like Origin is like it's a super easy job as a coach. Because really, the games in the series are won by selections initially of the squad and tactics through the game and like interchange strategy and things like that. And they were all the things that were fucked up under Freddie's watch. And, you know, and obviously as a head coach, he's the one that has to bear the brunt. I mean, he gets to... I don't think it was a situation where like he jumped as a save face thing before he was pushed. I think they were prepared to re-up him for another year or so. And then he's resigned. So there's something in there. Like they've tried to enforce some sort of, you know, hire or addition to the team, the coaching team. That he's, you know, I don't know, Gus. I don't know, but I thought they were cool. But anyway, he's gone, and so Origin back on maybe a contest again.
Probably not.
Dally M's. Not going to go through the entire fucking thing. But once again, well, not once again, but the structure of the voting, and this year with the new system where it's essentially double votes on offer per game, obviously to make, you know, they wanted to bring less sort of, I guess, variance on judges, you know, into it. Plus, they also wanted to make it exciting for the chase so that a player could conceivably be behind by 5 points going into the last round and max points and win the thing. Mm. This year, Kalyn Ponga won the Dally M medal for the NRL Player of the Year in a season where didn't play half of it, played shit for a quarter of it, and had a great run post-Origin, a couple of weeks after Origin, for a period of 9 games straight.
Because he wasn't selected to play State of Origin.
Yeah. Wasn't selected initially and then sort of dragged him out.
Selection.
Yeah, declined. Yeah. Yeah.
After injury.
Yeah, yep. So
now, can we point out there before we get all of you fucking strange little genetic mutants that wear Knights colours at us. We understand that none of this is Kalen Ponga's fault.
Yes.
The only thing that is Kalen Ponga's fault is Kalen Ponga's personality, which is reason enough for all of this slander anyway. However, the football side of things and the way that the awards played out, he had nothing to do with that, and all he can do is get up there and be gracious, which I believe he was.
So played rugby league under the system provided.
That's it. Let's put that there. And had a fantastic back run of the season.
Yes.
So, you fucking little gremlins back in the box.
Yeah, and look, and it's not just Kalen at the top either. I mean, there's like a number of people in the top five. Drinkwater was ineligible to receive the award based on the suspension he had.
Suspension.
But just the number of votes he got that would have put him in third had he been eligible.
Yeah.
Only 6 points out of the actual win.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's fucking alarming considering he was suspended for so many games and was fucking AIDS for a number of games too, because the Cowboys only played half a season as well. So for him to accumulate that many points in that team is fucking crazy. Nico Hines, I mean, he was roundly all year. The story was how much that motherfucker fell off. Again, he didn't play the first five rounds either. Came back great, but they immediately fell off again, like within, you know, certainly before. Yeah, but even before, round 10 sort of thing. Yeah. And then the narrative for Nico Hines' season was by and large, so it feels like whoever were doing the judging, there was still like a number, like a lot of this sort of name brand recognition, you know, narrative players like Nico.
The issue is
getting votes.
That the entire fucking thing is a media farce. Now, compare that to other awards around the world, like the NBA MVP voting every year.
Yeah, so talk them through that, to tell people how that works for those who don't know.
That is also a media award, mm-hmm. right? However, the difference is, here, it is run by one company.
Yeah.
So it is not actually the...
it's not like it's a consensus media award or anything, yeah.
You know? Whereas over there, they award votes to different media members based on, you know, how serious they are and the tenure and what they do, and are they a bona fide, do they have a history, have they shown that they know what they're talking about? The other issue is, this thing about having to give points on every game means that it's always going to be stacked to players who aren't in the best teams. Because in the best team, like to be in the upper echelon in this competition, you must be in.
It's best to have no competition. Team. Yeah, it's best to have no competition for points. Yeah.
Exactly. So the entire thing's fucking flawed.
But then, and then you've got the next tier too. Like you've got that tier. Like the general premise of it is flawed.
Yep.
But then the application of it is also flawed. For example, Sean Johnson, like three rounds before the end of the season, game against Manly where they dropped Ruben on his head, he got two try assists and two line break assists in that, or two line breaks in that game.
Yep.
And kicked the field goal.
Yep.
0 points.
Yeah, that's it.
So that's across two judges going 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
None of them gave him even so much as a... If one of them... If they both had said, yeah, okay, he's the third best player on his team.
Yes.
He's won the award that he probably deserved, you know, for much better form over the course of an entire season.
That's it. And when you look at that, the NBA one, it's you don't just get one vote either. So you're not just picking one player. You give a tiered system. So I think it's your top five in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And they tally those votes. You get a number.
You're given 5 points to the guy who is your number one, who's your pick to be the MVP, and then declining.
No. It scales. So your first pick gets 10 points.
Okay.
Second gets 7, then 5, 3, 1.
Yep.
Right? And it is...
Which does that allows weight to be given to the first picks over other picks because there's a larger gap in the... Yep.
Now, it's not perfect. And it is heavily skewed towards recency bias.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a player that has been, let's, you know, just to put percentages on it for the point of discussion, let's say there's been a player that's been playing at at 90% all season.
Yep.
There was one player that was playing at 80% for two-thirds of the season, but then at 95% for the back end.
Yep.
They come into the conversation.
Playing better at the time, you know? When they're,
and yeah. And the player that was at 95% at the beginning of the season and then drops off to 80% falls out of contention.
Mm.
You know? Because it's like, well, they're not the best now.
Yeah.
So, again, it's not perfect.
No, but it's not perfect. But the thing about the NBA one is that generally you get you certainly get a majority or a consensus that the person that ultimately wins it, they go, yeah, he was
amazing.
Yeah, he was the guy.
And there's still the discussions around that of who is the most valuable. Is it just the best player in the league?
Yeah.
Or is the best player on the best team more valuable? Or is it the player who is actually the most valuable to his team?
Mm-hmm.
That without him, his team does worse. There are people that have been in MVP contention. You take him out of their team, the team still does okay.
Yeah.
Are they the most valuable player if their team's okay without them? But the major issue here is it's a fucking Daily Telegraph rule.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, and I'm almost convinced at this stage it's unconscious, that they have their narrative players and they really fucking believe, or they've drunk the Kool-Aid because they've been told that these players get the clicks and they would understand what sort of articles get the clicks.
Mm-hmm.
In that, okay, so great. So the general public will be happy with our decision if we give the Dally M to this person. No one would say that that's not an issue if this person is voted the best player in the league this year.
Yeah.
So, absolute fucking joke.
Yep. The other one, I mean, like, obviously, great to see Andrew Webster get the Coach of the Year, and I think, I mean, he should have been pretty much fucking unanimous. Given what he managed to achieve with the Warriors. The only other one that you could say was controversial, and I don't know, maybe it's just that I follow a lot of Tigers fans, but the Rookie of the Year with Glenn's mate, Jareen Buller, not winning the award. What do you think about that, Glennie? I haven't spoken to you about it. The sentiment I was getting in the comments on the thing, you know, where they announced that, on the NRL Twitter, it was just fucking Jareen Buller City in the comments.
Yeah, look, I get it. He was a shining light for a shit team. And, yeah, I think he probably was definitely entitled to win. He certainly would have got my vote. But I don't know that you can shit on a guy for winning Rookie of the Year when he had some legitimate standout moments in a team that's probably going to go down as one of the best, well, the best club side in the history of the sport. And in his first year, he's had some legitimate standout games and outstanding moments and finishes. There's an argument can be made that that's harder to do than standing out in and amongst a bunch of scrubs.
It's almost the reverse of Coach of the Year. Like anyone that says, oh, Ivan should be Coach of the Year because it's the fourth grand final and what he's done has never been done before. And, you know, Craig Bellamy had to cheat to do it and he's considered a great coach. It's harder to do what Webster's done. And takes and takes more actual coaching. And again, there's a team of them, a whole fucking staff of guys that attribute to the success, but it is harder to do that. And Glennie, I agree with what you're saying. It's harder to stand out and be recognised in a team like that, rather than it is to be the young kid with speed on a team that are probably where pen. And this is the yin and yang of the universe. You know what they say? Like, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. For the level of greatness that the Panthers have achieved in being the greatest side ever, there is a yang to that yin, and that is the West Tigers being the worst side in the history.
Look, I was actually trying to be, you know, like, serious. Yeah,
that was a real... That was unnecessary.
And I just feel like...
Clearly was being nice and, like, actually saying shit on your side, and then you just come and fucking give him that one at the end. Clip on the throwaway through.
What I was doing was... I was actually being honest and truthful.
I wasn't out there fucking...
You should try it sometime.
I wasn't out there being a fucking mid-fullback.
Come on.
But no.
Now, moving along.
But again, I'm with you. Who fucking cares about the Dally M's?
Yeah.
Honestly, who fucking cares?
When did I say that?
No. This is what I'm saying.
You implied it with the way you looked.
With Rookie of the Year, again.
Okay. I said I cared more about winning C-grade most improved than I did about winning the Dally M. Quite frankly, harder to do.
I'm going to tell you, like, you didn't poll well in the Dally M.
Being honest. That's because I'm not a media narrative guy.
All right, okay. So, yeah, so you're off Buller then, because I'm in England. Anyway, I don't know what other stories you guys want to talk about, but there's a couple of grand final related ones where one of them today, where the Broncos are down in Sydney in the lead up to the game, and walking around Circular Quay, and apparently a Penrith fan said something along the lines of Moses Leota will take your head off this weekend. Reece Walsh responds saying, "I'll take your mum's." And the media, and like I saw photos of the kid, he's just laughing because he got exactly what he wanted.
Yeah.
He got some fucking bands with a player in a grand final. But the media have taken it and like, it's an ugly incident with a Penrith fan. The kid is clearly upset. And the NRL integrity unit was notified.
By who? By the journo?
By rat fucking snitch bastard. That who? Oh. I don't know who, but I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. Like, it is fucking ridiculous. But I just had to mention that one because I thought, wow. Wasn't it great when the fucking there was no media, you know, when the media weren't allowed to say shit about anything? I mean, this is like, you know. The other one is this wonderful fucking story. Heartwarming. The one thing you get around this time, Origin and Grand Final times, is the family human interest story, right, Glenn?
Hey, sorry, so, can I just pause for 1 second here?
Sure.
The fucking... Here I am thinking that it was the Daily Telegraph clowns that were voting for Dally M. Right? Who are the judges for the voting process for the Dally M? I just wanted to check this. The judges will be taken from a select pool of former players assigned to the role for the 2023 season. The identity of judges will be kept anonymous for the entirety of the Dally M medal process, ensuring the independence of voting and the integrity of the voting between the two judges are completely separate.
Yeah, that's which doesn't work because
I'm not sure how that guarantees
because if,
that.
For argument's sake, if a fucking ex Newcastle player was one of the anonymous judges and started fucking throwing sixes on Callum Pong, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, is
but how has anyone double checked whether these fucking the judges from a select pool of former players? Is fucking Mick Ennis, Gordon Tallis, Matthew Johns.
Well, I mean, the whole reason, you know, the reason why it's anonymous like that, and the reason why they've doubled up the votes per game was because you didn't get situations like Ruan Sims not even watching the fucking game and throwing votes on it. You know,
exactly.
Like,
fuck.
Anyway,
farce.
Yep. Now, anyway, back to this human interest story. I mean, I don't often bring it up. Often we dismiss them in when we're doing the news for the show. We're just like, there's nothing but human interest stories, blah, 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 moving right along, right? But this one caught my eye and I had to bring it to your attention, Glenn, because I know that Jay's seen it. Payne Haas said that a Broncos grand final victory will help lift the spirits of his family, including his mother and younger brother, who are facing manslaughter and drug supply and trafficking offences.
Well, he's right.
So, to paraphrase some...
Can we just... What sorts of things make baby murderers and drug dealers happy, Glenn?
Broncos grand finals.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, it's there in black and white.
Yeah.
And look, you know, to paraphrase something you said on Twitter, and just a thought that crossed my mind is like, if you're on the fence about who you want to support in the grand final, I don't know if the Panthers win is going to...
Let's be honest, there's a lot worse shit going on in Penrith. And,
you know, I mean, the Panthers win might bring some fathers back into the fucking home or something.
Mate, I don't know.
Something wholesome like that.
Unless Martin Bryant all of a sudden comes out in a Licorice All Swords jersey, it's hard to fucking top that one. It's hard to fucking top that one.
Could you imagine that though?
Cunt, can you that imagine cunt that
though? Like
worse.
Martin Bryant take a photo in the fuck in Risden or wherever the fuck he is, like a photo of him going up the pars though? Could you imagine?
do you know what? The only thing that cunt is worse at reading than rooms is fucking books. By the sound of him.
So yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Look, on that note, there's been a lot of fucking talk. And it's all started by one select Broncos fan about trying to prove that the Broncos are the team of the people and that everyone actually really likes the Broncos and that no one likes Penrith and this. And what I would like to say to you is...
A little bit needy, isn't it?
Oh, it's fucking gross. It's like...
And look, I also just want to just interject as an aside to say that the person himself is one of the more like, you know, like very like confident and comfortable with being outside of the fucking norm person. Like seems to like position, like,
or is this a cover? Or is it all a fucking...
So you're saying the Broncos are actually like revealing something about his entire personality and existence?
That need for love and nurturing.
Right.
However, as real fans of rugby league understand, you don't fucking want neutrals. Neutrals can go fuck themselves because their shit cunt teams aren't good enough to be in the grand final where yours is. You sit there and you laugh at every fucking bandwagoning neutral coming on to find reasons to tall poppy themselves into hating your club. Fucking drink it up.
Bud, can you just give me 2 secs? I've just got to take that new Penrith jersey out of my bag, out of my carry-on. I feel like it's going to get a little awkward.
Hey, I'm not going to stop you from doing it. You do it. You fucking do you.
I should have a serial fucking burning of it.
Bandwagging your team in the grand final is worse than carrying a second team around with you for 26 rounds.
Yeah.
For the regular season.
Frankly. Now, again... If you want to hope one team wins more than another, fucking oath, do you. Bet on it. If you need to gamble to give yourself that interest, you do that.
That's the thing. You don't emotionally shackle yourself to one of the teams that you don't support. Just fucking emotionally shackle yourself to your fucking money.
That's
and it. Bet on it.
Like, however, don't need the fucking validation of the neutrals. Don't seek it out. Don't want it. Don't be beholden to it. It's a fucking loan you'll never repay. I'd also like to address certain points that have been said about how everyone's sick of Penrith's technically perfect brand of rugby league and everybody likes Brisbane's attractive style of play. And we'll break this down for a second.
Both of those things don't have to be true.
Well, here's the thing. Penrith do play a beautiful game of rugby league. It is a beautiful fucking brand of football that they play. It is gorgeous and it is almost flawless. And people tune in by their fucking millions every week to watch rugby league. Right? The highest rating TV shows every single year without failing are State of Origin, the Rugby League Grand Final. Right? In the nation, people want to watch rugby league more than anything else. Do you know what Brisbane have? They have one egotistical fast guy. Do you know what no one in the nation tunes in to watch? Fucking athletics. Even every 4 years, when the fastest people on the fucking planet do it, 10% of the country watches. So stop trying to say that Brisbane's brand of football is fucking attractive.
Aaron Norton just passed out.
Look... Fucking someone's getting copped with strays.
This is what happens when you're fucking driving by fucking
doing drive-bys at Carrara. Yes. Sorry, on to the next news item.
Right, so well, I don't have any other ones I really want to talk about, to be honest.
Do we want to talk about the West Tigers?
Oh, fuck yeah, not a news item. Thank you for reminding me, because I almost fucking skated through there and completely missed. So today, and there were several members of the nation at this event, the West Tigers grand final luncheon event that was, I believe, at the ICC, which is funny because, I mean, that was one thing that no one's brought up, that it was actually
at the International
Cunt Circus, which I think is down like, Darling Harbour or whatever, like down where, like the, down near where the Navy Museum and shit is, right? And underwater world and stuff. Okay, so we know several people that were there, and Glenn's mate, Sam, good mate of his, he was there, and this was a $300 ticket event for those who had to pay to go there, and this event basically highlighted in many ways the West Tigers fans. They went there probably in not an amazing mood because they're coming, it's a spoon season, and I mean, there's nothing really to celebrate in terms of celebrating your club kind of thing, but you want to have a good time. They roll up to the ICC, and two events were on simultaneously today. On level 5 in the Grand Ballroom Convention Centre, the West Tigers Grand Final Luncheon 2023. In the Piermont Theatre Convention Centre on level 2 of the ICC, the New South Wales Voluntary Assisted Dying Conference 2023. It's so fucking perfect.
They're the same thing.
It's so perfect. I can't believe it wasn't fucking photoshopped. But I've seen the same photo with different shading and taken from a slightly different angle and shit. I've seen at least 3-4 different versions of the photo. So not only did it happen, but multiple West Tigers fans go up to that event and they all were hit in the face with the same big bat of irony. And like, and it was, I'm like, oh, that's worth a photo. Isn't that funny about me and my club that I support? So other things, I didn't get a huge breakdown. I got a bit of a highlights package from Sam about what happened there. He got a football, like one of those old style, like leather footballs, and he got it signed by some of the old boys in attendance. I can't remember off the top of my head who all of them were, but Timmy Brasher was there.
He brought the old school leather football along. Because he's, yeah.
Who else was there that was good? I'm trying to think who was there. Like Hino was there. Halitau was there. Tim Grant was one of them. And I had to remark that, his autograph on a football probably devalues it, if anything. no Steve Edmed, which was a disappointment to all true fucking Balmain fans. I know that. Certainly the name I expected to see. So... Yeah. That's the old boys. That's great. You know, these things usually have the old boys sort of scattered about, and and apparently Hino, a conversation with Hino is like a conversation with any of us at like a grand final meetup or whatever.
Fuck yeah.
Apparently that motherfucker just slides right in like any of us would into a conversation, and he's great value. 10 out of 10 for Hino. And Timmy Brash was well, high marks. Let's talk about current people though. It's the off season, so of course there's going to be a segment, potentially a large amount that are players that are sort of, in Bali available. Or in Vegas or on a holiday somewhere, right? You see the photos on Insta, all these players are on holidays, so you don't get too many of them. But there was one person from the current squad, top 30 there, Appy. Appy fronted up and did his job. That's it, just Appy.
Fuck.
Coach Benji Marshall did appear there, but apparently he peaced out real quick, like. He was there for literally minutes. It's a club event. You'd think you'd see the Fedora there or Pasco maybe. No shows, complete no show. So really, it was just these old boys doing the heavy lifting. Then you had 10 people sat at a table, right? Each seat was numbered. They had to bring out a chocolate wheel, spin the chocolate wheel, and you can win one of these footballs, and get them signed by the old boys there. So, it's great. You got a 1 in 10 chance of winning, right?
Yep.
Chocolate wheel comes out. Numbers 1 to 10 on it, except there's 16 segments on the pie of the wheel. So they spin the place. So they spin. I've got video of this. I've got video of the wheel like this to show you. So they spin the wheel, right? Because, you know, and if it comes up, like, you know, 11. For example, if you're in seat number two, if it lands on number five and you're in seat five, then you've won the footy. Congratulations. You've won 10 chances.
To their credit, I'm sure they couldn't envision it going any higher than nine.
Right. Yeah, well, right. But, so.
Welcome to the David Nofaluma chocolate wheel. We struggle to count numbers defensively and on a wheel.
And the thing is, because it had like the 16 segments in it, the numbers, it didn't just go like, you know, 1 through to 10 and then like a big gap. It was kind of like they had some spaces in between the other numbers, right? And so they spin it. First time they spin it, comes down, lands between, in the blank space between 1 and 2.
Gap.
And, so there's some discussion there, like, oh, it's kind of closer to 2. Do we award it to 2? No, we'll spin it
just
again.
Just have 10 even fucking spaces on a wheel. This is not hard stuff.
Right. Respin. Spin it again. Click, 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 click. Comes around. Same exact spot between 1 and 2. So eventually they do just say, fuck it, we'll give it to number 2, right? So a big contributor to our Facebook group, Terry, he messages me. He's like, don't ask me why I was there. Because he's a Doggies fan, I believe. But I was there. And he's telling me the story about the chocolate wheel. And they left it unattended up on the stage there. So he's gone up there to fucking have a look at it and spin it. And he's taken video of himself spinning it, right? And he spins it, click, click, comes around, right between 1 and 2 again. But when you watch this fucking thing spin, what happens is, you spin it in a certain direction and it spins around, and then when the momentum starts to stop, like, you know, like the Wheel of Fortune, you think it's going to stop and land on the thing. At the moment it stops and reaches, like, you know, the end of its velocity, it's like it goes in fast forward or rewind back the way you spun it and spins around a few more times. So the thing was so fucked in, like, in the balance or whatever, in the calibration, that it was always only ever going to land in that exact same spot every fucking time. So, look...
Who was the old Tigers player that was done for match fixing?
Tim Simona.
Is he now building chocolate wheels? Or
I don't believe. I tell you what. I mean, if you're building a dodgy chocolate wheel, though, make it land on a fucking number that's on the thing.
Well, again, he wasn't the fucking smartest guy.
Well, no. Well, he was selling fraudulent shit on eBay too or something, wasn't he? Is that how he got caught? I can't remember what. It, yeah.
Oh god.
Or was that someone else? Who knows? Anyway. Eventful day down at the West Tigers.
I can see how somebody sat around a fucking big brain exec table, and I have seen so many of these fucking things. And the issue with these big brain exec tables is
there's no big brains at the table.
Well, they overcomplicate fucking everything because nothing is ever allowed to be unpleasant. So I can see how they've sat around that big brain exec table and said, look, fucking Fedora and Pasco, you guys are not popular.
On the nose a bit, so yeah.
You know, that's it. So give this one the slide, and we're just going to send the old boys in, right? The team isn't popular because they didn't have a great season. And, you know, mental health and yada, yada, yada. And there might be something to be said for that, about getting guys from the top squad in there.
Also, they are on holiday too, so there's not necessarily
I know, but even... Yeah. But Appy, it would be hard for any fan to be there and run at Appy personally for his contribution.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I mean, you could throw Buller in there if he was around as well, you know. I mean, he'd get locked on as well.
Based on the Dally M's, they'd probably fillet him, but...
And a good deal. I mean, let's be real, good deal.
Yeah, the thing of, you know, we'll send the old boys in there. Everyone loves old boys, and we'll send Appy in there, and that, you know, that's a positive interaction experience.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas realistically, it probably should have been. Yep, we've had the worst season that could have been imagined. We've had the worst thrashing in the club's history, completely negating the biggest win in the club's history.
Yep.
We need to face the fucking music on this. So everybody, book sessions front with your therapists afterwards.
Yep.
Cop the fucking music.
Yep. Yeah. The thing is as well, I mean, it's also like, what, like, when you're charging $300, I don't know how many tickets were sold to this, but you're charging $300 for a lunch, and I mean, you're revenue raising for something, whether it's a club or a charity or whatever. I'm not sure. But
here is the media training beforehand of the five fucking canned responses. Yep, I'm terribly sorry. I can't argue with anything that you've said.
Next year is going to be fucking dope. We're looking forward to it. We got, you know, Benji fucking blah,
we're
blah.
We're as disappointed as you are, and we are working day and night to find the causes and to make improvements.
Got thanks tons of confidence in Benji.
Thanks for sticking with us.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, because what, and like, you know, West Tigers fans that were in attendance at this event can certainly, you know, have their say and, you know, debate whether this is true or not. But an impartial non-Tigers fan who was in attendance did say that if Glennie had been there, he would have gotten a fight by the end of it because the mood just was like getting more depressed and more depressed as it went on. And by the end, everyone was just like so fucked off with the club that it just wasn't great. The vibe, like when you say the vibes are immaculate, like whatever the opposite of that is. So, yeah.
Mate, I've seen it so many fucking times. We're trying to sugarcoat something, gets the exact opposite reaction of what you hope it will, and what you should have done was actually get down in the trenches and just be like, yep, it was shit.
Yep.
So. Just the whole thing with the club is there's such a disconnect of accountability. And there was an opportunity there for them to actually put a full stop and put this season in the bin, but be accountable for it and move forward from it. Instead, they had all their, they fucking stiffed all the people there for $300 a ticket and couldn't actually look anyone in the eye. And that's pretty fucking disgusting.
Tell you what, do you know all that this story's taught me? That if you could be going to a fucking $300 a head luncheon,
probably not a Tigers fan.
Fucking midday on a Friday. Well, I either need to start fucking, you know, doing dubbing on movies or fucking being overly positive on Twitter, because those things fucking pay the bills.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, they were paying the bills, and then, you know, you're on strike, so you got a heap of fucking spare time. May as well go on.
Oh, that's true. You make an excellent point there, Glennie. Right, grand final. Let's go. Panthers versus Broncos. The two teams haven't met for quite some time. It was the last meeting was way back in round 12, and their first meeting, of course, was the opening game of the season. The Broncos narrowly got that one. Panthers had a relatively small win in the return bout in round 12, 15-4. Mm-hmm. Let's go through. Glennie, what do you reckon?
I think Brisbane need to completely dominate the first 20 minutes of the game to have any chance of winning. And I think the chances of Brisbane doing that are very fucking slim. They need to have an all-time grand final start to give themselves a chance. Unfortunately, there's going to be... There has to be an element of jumpiness or whatever from some of these guys that haven't played in grand final before. You know, the likes of Walsh, Staggs, Herbie, Ezra Mam, there's a swag of them. Guys that haven't played, you know, even in the arena of origin. And they're coming up against guys that, you know, play in grand finals like it's any other Sunday. So, I think Penrith are too experienced in a game like this. I think to win three in a row is a real motivator for Penrith. And, they've got motivation. They can go into the game better prepared than most sides in the NRL era, having... you know, this being their fourth grand final in a row. And I just think the occasion may just get to Brisbane and not allow them to have the start that they need in order to give themselves a chance of winning. So I think Penrith will win.
Do you make anything of the weather forecast for the day with Sydney being smashed with something like 35 degrees on Sunday, 37. Mm. And around the time we get to the start of the game, they're talking sort of 30, 31.
Like, is it really going to be that fucking hot?
Yeah, apparently.
Fucking please wear deodorant to the meetup. Please. Bring it with you. Bring it with you. Hand sanitizer if you need to. That kills bacteria. Just, it's like sunscreen. Every 2 hours, reapply. You stinky cunts.
Yes, it's gonna be grim temperature down there. But I mean, playing a game of football, a grand final at 7 PM where things should be backing off, and it's still over 30 degrees. Yeah. Fucking ordinary areas.
Yeah.
And I think Panthers, in terms of conditioning, I think that helps them.
Yeah.
Good. Massively. There's a bunch of different ways that you can look at that, though. You know, everyone is going to be fatigued, and there are a bunch of players on that Broncos side whose only redeeming feature is their speed. And so any extra fatigue in any player in front of them is an advantage. The biggest danger to Penrith is the NRL. That's the biggest danger.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I'm even scared to ask why, but I'll play a stupid fucking game. Why?
We've already seen that they are on a massive push to grow revenue. Yeah? And part of doing that is that they're taking a bunch of sides to Las Vegas next year. So the NRL have already shown that they will blatantly cheat to get the Broncos into the grand final. You know, the Broncos have been to Sydney 3 times this season to play. They've had the softest draw of any team in the history of the sport.
That's not true.
They have away games. Well, the Sharks won a premiership on a soft draw, but...
You know. I saw a calculation like on the strength of draw based on how teams are, how good they are this year. Which is the only way you can really base a strength of draw, you know, instead of like basing on what teams did last year. Based on this year, the tied hardest strength of draw, it was tied Broncos and Manly. Now, what does mitigate the Broncos' strength of draw and decrease it somewhat is, like you said, the fact that they play at home or in Brisbane pretty much every fucking game.
Mitigates it to the extent of being the softest draw in the history of fucking anything.
Fuck me, Dad. I never thought I'd see the day where you'd sound like Trotters and Nate in the same episode of this show.
The mitigation. What did I do?
Fucking, the fucking don't get mitigation. Me
started on you, cunt.
Mitigation was harder than their draw.
See, people who are listening can't see the look on your face.
So at the NRL.
You got that look on your face like going, I'm saying a thing right now.
Can you believe people are listening to this shit?
Jesus Christ.
But it would do fucking wonders for the NRL to go over to Las Vegas whenever that is next year. Because let's be fucking real. None of the other teams they're taking over there are a prime example of what rugby league is or how to play it well.
Oh, and they're only taking the big clubs. I mean, it's obviously a fact.
No, they're taking the fucking ones that have dirt or that are owed favours by the NRL. You know, the NRL knows that Ruskie's got fucking 47 mutant Burgess fetuses locked down in his basement somewhere that he'll unleash if they don't take the fucking rabbits.
Anyway, so let's talk about the game itself.
The NRL, it is quite possible that there have been instructions to fucking refs fault the Broncos into the premiership, which will be the only way they can win. Penrith to three-peat and cement their legacy.
Look, I think Panthers will win. There's a couple of reasons why, and I mean, and none of them are...
I've just given you the reasons.
No. None of them are what I would say generously. Generously,
just as the narrator, Jay bullshit. Still has that same look on his face.
Now, I think the conditions are most definitely suited to the Panthers, and I mean even the fields, like the way the fields play, Lang Park shockingly is Suncorp is conducive to the Broncos, and I don't think that that Homebush is. The temperatures and everything. I think the one thing that the Panthers have had over the last couple of seasons is like superior conditioning and shit like that. So I think that in given the conditions and the temperatures, that's going to be a factor. Now, in terms of the actual style of play, the way the teams play, that's the part where it's actually a good matchup, and I hope that the other stuff doesn't actually in, yeah, because I think that the Panthers are going to win the middle very easily. And if the Broncos can somehow mitigate that, or, you know, draw level in that aspect of the game, and like, you know, it's going to be obviously a worldie from fucking, you know, Payne Haas and Carrigan and stuff to do so. If they can do that, though, then it gives them a real chance, because the one weakness that you were talking about with Panthers in the game against the Storms last week is the one thing that the Broncos do best, quick shifts and, you know, shit out wide. Exactly. Everyone, like, I mean, yeah, Manly did it. The Warriors, like, there are teams, any team that has success against the fucking, the Panthers in any facet of a game, that's how they're doing it.
Yeah.
And so, and that's something the Broncos do very well. So if they can do that and execute it,
can do that cleanly, they're a fucking problem.
Yeah, and this is the thing. Out of all of the teams in the competition that have tried to do that, they're certainly the ones that have the best chance to actually execute that, you know?
Yep.
In the way it needs to be for, like, you know, a very high success rate for a very large part of the game.
Yeah.
Mistake-free. And if they can do that, then fuck, I mean, there's definitely points to be had there for them. So it really falls on to, like Payne Haas, he has to fucking rule the middle almost single-handedly and try and fucking destroy Liotta and, you know, and Fish. He has to have one of those games where he's just like a man, like a guy in a fucking war doing it himself. And allowing...
My only thing, I am really concerned for exactly this reason. There are going to be a bunch of forwards, and the Broncos especially, that are saying we are coming up against the two best props that have ever played the game of rugby league. And they're going to try that fucking hard. I don't want anyone...
I never
want
to do this show ever
side.
Again.
I know, I'm with you.
I don't want fucking head clashes and HIAs and all of that shit to rub anyone out of that game, because that would take away from what is going to be a fucking great contest.
And that's the only thing that's really going to happen, because you know they're going to be...
There.
You know, the whistle is going to go away for, you know, some of the incidental shit that, you know, because it's, you know, just the nature of the... look, I mean, the other thing is Adam G refereeing it. Thank fucking God they didn't just sit down into their regular fucking Ashley Klein fucking Sutton bullshit. Those guys that have had some absolute fucking shockers in the lead up in the finals and the later rounds of the season, there actually has been some accountability or, you know, like punishment for it. They're not getting the fucking big dance, which is a great move as well.
Yeah. I hope they've been informed that. I'm not saying I hope they've been told that they're shit. I hope they'll be told that it has been awarded based on merit.
Yeah. The consequences, these are the decisions that have been made that have been clearly wrong. Grand finals, the showcase of the game, we need to be... And based on that, Adam has shown us the highest, you know, frequency of making the right calls in the blah, 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 whatever you want to...
The way he handles games, the way he controls players. Well,
Yep. And, like, thank fuck, because the thing you were talking about with, like, forwards taking shit and, you know, like, you know, trying to lift their sides and everything... Like, if Ashley Klein was a guy refereeing...
Oh, you imagine?
Can you imagine the fucking... It'd be good old-fashioned... Let's throw it back to the fucking mid-70s Manly versus Sharks, where they played about 3 minutes of football and the rest of it was just basically a fucking brawl.
Oh, God.
But, so there we go. Look, I mean, I think that the Panthers will win... But, you know, provided certain conditions are met, I think the Broncos can most certainly make a game of it. And really, as a neutral, all I give a fuck about, you know, you want just an entertaining game that's good to watch.
Yeah,
like,
that's it.
For example, last year was shit. You know, 2020 became a good game, you know, with 20 minutes to go, but it was shit for the large majority just because it wasn't a competitive game. The one that we were at with the Rabbits,
21 was fucking...
That was a close game and competitive for
I much preferred last year to 21. I much preferred the last 10 minutes, I should say.
There is nothing like a grand final where you go into it knowing you're going to win and you're never threatened at any point. on the way to the win. Like, yeah, that was 2011 for me. Like, yeah, it's just so comfy. It's great.
Yeah.
But
must be like what childbirth's like.
Yeah, exactly. So easy. Yeah. It's just, you're having a great time. There's a great result at the end of it.
Yeah,
no pressure, no pain or stress at any point. It's incredible.
Like, heart rate goes up slightly.
Yeah,
periodically.
Obviously, it's the big game. Of course, you're going to elevate slightly.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it. Nice.
Yeah. Glennie's just like right now. If you could see Glennie, I should take a picture. But Glennie is just sitting there, just so checked out, and just like, when is it, I'm just, he's just waiting to hear the words, "That's full time." He can't wait. Glennie.
Yes, Nathan. I'm here. I regret it.
Tell me something.
I regret it, but I'm here.
So, is there anything to add to the grand final there, Glennie?
Oh, yeah. No, I think I've said all I need to say about, you know, what I think is going to happen in the contest. I'll probably echo what you guys said in the 3 fucking nanoseconds where you're actually talking sense. I do hope it's a good contest.
What did I say that wasn't talking sense?
Well, everything comes out of your mouth except when you said you hope it's a good contest.
So my theories about how the way the game can be won and lost without fucking trying to pump up weird shit like stepdad was.
I'm going to be honest. Some of your shit got drowned out by fucking the absolute tidal wave of fucking trash.
Yeah, my thoughtful analysis was like a fucking guy on a fucking on the beach.
All I could see
Thailand
and hear was rubbish. I thought I was in the fucking passenger seat of Sam Hayward's car.
Ouch.
Anyway, so that's it. That's 5:37.
Done.
Now, look, let's talk meetups. Okay, so midday at Bar Cleveland.
If you are a patron, a member,
log into to Patreon or on your app and look at the
exclusive invite.
Look at the timeline there, and you'll see what the deal is.
Look, at the risk of sounding crass, please don't come if you're not. We don't want to be a cunt and turn people away, but we will. It's a time that's set exclusively for those guys. They pay additional money for the members' stuff. So please just respect that it's a special time for them. From midday onwards at Bar Cleveland, everyone is welcome. No cost. All and more. Fucking bring whoever. The venue we are at does have a strict over 18s only policy, so please respect that. We would love.
I think you can have, like, if you want to bring your kid or whatever, that's fine. But there's no unattended. Like, if you are listening to the show now and you are under 18,
yeah,
and you're not going with your dad or something, they're not. Yeah, you're not going to be able to.
And look, even if you want to, please don't, because I don't want to have to explain to your dad who we are.
And whilst people call us real dad and stepdad, we're actually not.
Because that's it. If I ever heard my kid listening to this and going, "I'm going to go and meet real dad and stepdad this weekend," I'd be fucking going along with him too.
I mean, that's like that. That sounds worse than saying I'm going to fucking Neverland to meet famous pop star Michael Jackson.
Oh, do you know what my favorite part of the show is? When they talk about the touch every week. Oh, I love the touch talk.
You just made this show something it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also like, it's a C-grade touch, though.
Really like, ordinary
touching. They don't go for the surface level of A-grade touching. They go all the way to C.
I really hope by next year they can get to A-grade touching.
Yes, and if you're in Brisbane, 2 p.m. Wing House at Bowen Hills. If you're familiar with the, you know, where the Ecker is, I believe it's King Street there at Bowen Hills, directly across the road from Ridges, right there in the Ecker precinct. 2 p.m. till the grand final is done. Be there. We've had a pretty good response from people showing up there. Looking forward to seeing some new faces, and I'm going to be seeing a lot of faces that, you know, that I know very well, and I'm looking forward to that as well.
We'll do some video link ups through the day.
Yeah, and you can, and if you come into the Brisbane one, you can meet the NRL agents and stars, who Michael from Strive, he will be there, and you can get him hyped up for the Ask the Agent episode.
Dodging me again,
fuck yeah!
And maybe start thinking about your questions as well for that, because that'll be coming up over the next couple of weeks for sure.
My question is, why do you keep dodging me?
Well, save it for the show. You can ask him to his face, essentially.
How good is
via video face? Via video link? How about that?
All right.
Catch him on the show. How about
fuck that?
Now, listen, and also with the our other wing house, no cost or anything. Rock up. From the look of it, they got tons of TVs. It's going to be a fucking great place to watch the game. Smash some fucking wings, have some drinks if you're that way inclined. And yeah, close to public transport, close to parking if you're a non-drinker or you want to fucking, you know, live life like the 70s and fucking just get tanked and fucking drive it home. Look, I'm not your dad. I'm not going to fucking tell you what to do. Now, I've got one thing, boys, that I just want to put on you for the end of the episode. If you could want to direct yourself to the chat section of Skype here, I'm going to send an image through as we reset the counter to zero and have our first postseason atrocity. And this, the winner is Penrith. As I said, press send on it. Zach Hosking.
Has
dressed up for Mad Monday. And he is dressed up with someone else who I'm not sure who the other person is, but he is dressed up as the Williams sisters.
No.
Wearing tennis whites and white
tennis
headband,
blacks.
And full black face, arms, chest, legs.
Nah.
And when I say tennis whites, it's basically a sleeveless tank and a short skirt. So there's a lot of fucking brown paint going on to get that outfit.
Yeah, fucking hell, boys.
So, yeah.
Jesus, that's gonna, fucking
so, so now when we press stop on this, I'm going to direct myself to the timeline where the most perpetually bleeding vagina fan base is going to have to fucking play a straight bat to that one. So, congratulations, Penrith. You win the postseason atrocity counter. I haven't had a boo out of anyone else. A couple of men and boys are over in Vegas.
Do you know the worst thing about
this? What's that?
The reason you haven't heard boo out of anyone else is because of the shit that happened with the Bulldogs a couple of years back when the fucking scrubbo journos flew the drone up
to get a nice shot of Adam Elliott's massive cock.
That's it. Shit is so fucking nailed down now.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, everyone is out here. The worst thing is A, that they've done this, but B, they've fucking owned Golden.
Yep.
They're that fucking not on the page.
Yeah.
That it's okay to post.
So look for the headlines as you're listening to this show tomorrow our time on Saturday. Look for the headlines where the Panthers are defending the mystery brown substance in an Instagram photo from Zach Hosking.
Yeah.
good times. And on that note,
fucking Australia.
See everybody at the various meetups. And
pumped. Let's go.
And if you can't come, lift.
That's it.
And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
See ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.